You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. Tigers fall in Oxford, 31-17 at the hands of the Ole Miss Rebels. We will recap the game. On a more positive note, however, we will talk about some of the Tigers and the pros and what a monster day for Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, as Ja'Marr Chase seems to have a stranglehold right now on Offensive Rookie of the Year. But listen, I get it. LSU goes out. They lose for the first time in 6 years to Ole Miss. 31-17, hardly even competitive in the second half. And I understand all the negativity that's going to abound, and that's unavoidable, and we will talk about it. But I am going to choose to start in a different place because I do not want, amid all of the negativity of that game, for this point to be lost. And that point is that Damone Clark right now is arguably the best linebacker in college football. And again, this is a one-off shimmering light amid a mostly dark season for LSU. But Damone Clark right now, I'm going to put some perspective on this. And if you need to know nothing else, understand this, that Mike Jones from Clemson and Bug Strong, the number one JUCO linebacker in the country, were brought to LSU this year because LSU was so bad at linebacker a year ago. And that included Damone Clark, who wore number 18. And I want to be careful, though, because I'm not trying to say that he wasn't giving effort, but one thing you see, especially in the NFL today, is you have three down linebackers. I'll give you a Saints analogy. Or better yet, and this is Locked In LSU, Devin White. Devin White is a three down NFL linebacker. He is big and strong and physical enough to defend against the run and play between the tackles, and he is fast and athletic enough to defend sideline to sideline. Devin White is a three down linebacker in the NFL. That is a hybrid that doesn't exist. The days of Mike Singletary or Brian Urlacher or Dick Butkus, these 6'3", 260-pound linebackers that just fill gaps and take on offensive guards, like that doesn't exist in the NFL anymore. So the other option are hybrid guys, the third-down linebackers, guys like, for lack of a better phrase, what Damone Clark was before this year, a guy that was super athletic that could run sideline to sideline but didn't necessarily have the instinct to play inside. That's why LSU struggled so mightily with that a year ago. And Mike Jones came to LSU with the intent of being that guy. He was an overhang linebacker at Clemson that was a third down guy that could cover backs and tight ends, could play sideline to sideline. But if you want to be a three down linebacker in the NFL, you got to play on the inside. And he came to LSU to get that opportunity, which he wasn't going to have at Clemson. I get asked by a lot of different radio shows when I go on as a guest, what happened to Mike Jones? Well, what happened to Mike Jones is Damone Clark. Damone Clark has had one of the most impressive year-to-year transformations from good college football player to elite college football player. Damone Clark presently, through seven games, through eight games, leads college football with 99 tackles. Damone Clark is college football's leading tackler. Let me put some perspective on this. Devin White, in his Butkus Award-winning season in 2018, had 123 tackles. The way Damone Clark is pacing right now, he will surpass Devin White's tackle total in the next two games for LSU. With two games to play, he's going to obliterate that number that Devin White put up the year he won the Butkus. Now, Devin White had three sacks. Damone Clark has one. And Devin White had 12 tackles for loss in that season. And Damone Clark right now has four tackles for loss. He also has two forced fumbles and an interception. I'm making this comparison to show that right now, Damone Clark is playing at a Butkus caliber level. I understand that oftentimes these awards don't necessarily go to the player at that position who had the best season, but a lot of times it's the best player, best team, most most popular, like a great example is what happened back in 2018 with the Thorpe Award. Grant Delpit was the best defensive back in college football. He didn't win the Thorpe that year. In 2019, Grant Delpit battled injuries, but he was a household name at that point, and he won the Thorpe, even though Derek Stingley that year was actually the best defensive back in all of college football. I hate to call it a lifetime achievement, but sometimes that's kind of how these play out. So while Damone Clark, being that he's on a team that isn't going to play meaningful games the rest of the way, and before this year, and probably still isn't, a household name, Damone Clark probably doesn't have a great chance to win the Butkus, but right now he is playing linebacker as good or better than any other linebacker in college football. And the other thing that I will salute him for is late in that ball game with LSU down 31-7 and with Snoop Connor steamrolling toward the end zone, Damone Clark didn't give up on the play. He took a great angle to the pylon, smacked Snoop Connor, and forced a fumble, which turned into a touchback. That is a winning play from a guy wearing 18 in a season that is mostly lost with a lame duck coach where you're hoping just to get to bowl eligibility, and that dude continues playing his behind off. I was not going to let this opportunity pass to salute Damone Clark to start this podcast because I didn't want that to be lost amid everything else that's inevitably going to follow. The first 20-tackle game at LSU since Kevin Minter against Florida back in 2012, and he was one tackle off the single-game record set by Al Richardson. So, salute to Damone Clark, a guy that has made himself a ton of money, went from late day three marginal draft pick to a top 100 pick and climbing between now and the draft. So, congrats to Damone Clark for the effort, the work he's put in, and put himself in a great position, continue to be a team leader, and continue to play hard. Damone Clark was awesome on Saturday. One, again, bright light amid a mostly dark day, which we will talk about as we continue here, Locked on LSU. We're brought to you by Prize Picks. If you're a college football fanatic, you have got to know about Prize Picks because Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You will love Prize Picks, the leader in college sports daily fantasy, with more college props than anyone in the world. They offer the Power 5 players that you know, as well as the mid-majors that you may not have heard of, everything from yardage and touchdowns, interceptions thrown, it's Prize Picks. And all of our users, when you make that deposit and use the promo code Locked On, you get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So be sure you use the promo code Locked On to get that 100% instant deposit match up to $100. It's prizepicks.com or the Prize Picks app. Be sure to use the promo code Locked On. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. We continue Locked On LSU, your team every day, and we appreciate you for making us your first listen every single day. Okay, so I gave my kudos to Damone Clark because that's how I felt we needed to start this podcast. But the other part of that, which is inevitable, is LSU is not a very good football team right now, and they are very clearly a poorly coached football team. LSU loses to Ole Miss 31-17, and it went probably the way many assumed it would. Ole Miss outgained LSU 470-326. This was not a competitive football game after the first quarter. All of the things that seemed to go well for LSU last week were flipped on their head, and that shouldn't come really as a tremendous surprise. So, as it starts, LSU did what it's done pretty well to start the season. LSU has had, generally speaking, good game plans to start. What is so obvious with this football team right now is that as the game goes along and as the opponent adjusts, when the opponent counterpunches LSU's plan, LSU does not have a response. That has been the problem and why you have seen this team get boat raced in the second half so many times. If it was against UCLA, if it was the late scores by Mississippi State, if it was Kentucky's runaway win, if it was Florida scoring on four consecutive possessions in the second half, if it was, well, what we obviously just saw this weekend against Ole Miss, with Ole Miss racing past LSU in the third quarter and coasting home. LSU does not have a plan for a counterpunch once a team reacts. So, we talked about this all week. We saw LSU come off a dynamite rushing performance where they ran counterplays all throughout the day against Florida and worked brilliantly. You knew DJ Durkin was going to have a response for that. And what we saw was exactly what you would expect given those circumstances. LSU went back to its inability to run the football. 35 attempts for just 77 yards, an average of 2 yards per carry. It was an inept offensive day for the Tigers. Now, LSU did start 7-0, and they got some stops early on that Ole Miss offense. LSU had a good plan early. I will say that the decision by Ed Ogeron to go for it on 4th and goal instead of kick the field goal, I did not agree with. I understand hindsight's 20/20. It is very easy to sit here on a Monday with the benefit of hindsight and say that was a bad decision. I'm not sure that would have massively changed the outcome of the game, but in that moment, I didn't like the call, and here's why. And listen, if they score a touchdown, it's brilliant. They didn't, so it wasn't. I get it. But in that moment, if you kick the field goal and go up 10-0, you're up 2 scores. You're up 2 scores, and remember, Ole Miss got the ball to start the game, and you're getting the ball to start the second half. So in that moment, you could be up 2 scores, still with the opportunity to have back-to-back possessions at the end of the first half and the start of the third quarter. So for that reason, you could have put Ole Miss in a position where they were not one play away or one drive away from tying or taking the lead, to where you would have continued to play with, have them play catch up throughout the game. That's why I did not like that decision in the moment. And even more so, showed further inability. Another fourth down play where LSU had to burn a timeout. The execution of the play call was terrible. I kind of understand rolling the pocket because you don't want Max Johnson to be a sitting duck, but the lack of creativity in the play call led LSU to what it was. And then naturally, Ole Miss went on their long drive. They didn't convert points on the 90 when they started their own one, but they did chew up clock. From that point, Ole Miss would score 31 unanswered, 31-7 going into the fourth quarter, and that's when LSU made the quarterback change. A lot of people have asked about Garrett Nussmeier. I don't think Garrett Nussmeier starting this ball game would have made any difference. He finished 7 of 12 for 103 and a score. He did lead LSU to scoring drives, a field goal, and a touchdown. Malik Nabers had the really nice touchdown catch there at the end. I just don't think that Garrett Nussmeier would have fundamentally changed much in that game. The bottom line is, one thing that I have been asked a good bit is, you know, would Miles Brennan make a difference? And, you know, the fundamental difference between Johnson and Brennan is Max Johnson's athleticism, his ability to run. And I would say the same for Garrett Nussmeier. But we are not seeing LSU commit to running the ball with their quarterbacks. There are no quarterback draws. There are no designed, you know, bootlegs, naked boots, where the quarterback has the opportunity to make a play with his feet. Max Johnson had 6 rushes for -8 yards, because that's sack yardage. And then Garrett Nussmeier, the 1 for -16 on the sack, where he rolled around backwards. If you're not going to commit to running your quarterback, then, yeah, I think Miles Brennan is the best arm talent of all of these quarterbacks and probably would make them better than they are right now. We saw another deep ball underthrown by Max Johnson. I don't think Garrett Nussmeier changes the outcome of this game. And leading, you know, 2 scoring drives in the fourth quarter when the issue is no longer in doubt and there's not much pressure is vastly different than what you might have been feeling in pressure-packed situations early in the ball game. So, no, I don't think Garrett Nussmeier would have made a difference in this game. I do wonder if, with, you know, an open date here and an extra week to prepare for Alabama, do they work in some packages maybe to get Garrett Nussmeier and his athleticism out on the field? Maybe, maybe not. Do you really want Garrett Nussmeier making his first ever start on the road in Tuscaloosa against that Alabama team? Not ideal. So LSU's just kind of stuck, y'all. There's no other way to say it. They're just kind of stuck. They're not a very good football team. They, even when they had their full complement of players, we saw these issues in the second half against UCLA. Now you're out, your 2 starting defensive ends, your 2 starting outside cornerbacks, a starting defensive lineman. You saw Micah Baskerville go down during the game. You saw Jay Ward get injured during the game. There was a point in the second half where we saw Greg Penn and Sony Fanua out there on the field for LSU, and that's just not going to be a winning tandem. That's such a drastic difference from Micah Baskerville and Ali Gay. It's just, you don't have starting caliber players out there right now. Your depth has been gutted, and you weren't even that good when those guys were out there. So, you know, what's the reason for optimism? There isn't any against Bama. I think LSU has a chance, if they play their best game, to beat Arkansas in Tiger Stadium. I can't say definitively that I think that happens, but they have a chance to do it. And certainly they'll beat ULM, and then we'll see how they wrap up against Texas A&M. But there's four more games of the Ed Orgeron era, and more importantly, Scott Woodward is in full-on, full-court press, find that next coach at LSU mode. Rumors running rampant, and I certainly can understand why that's a big part of the conversation. And every time those rumors come up, we'll address them here, as we have up until this point. But one thing's for certain is whatever feel good you had after the Florida game, the reality check came 7 days later in Oxford against Ole Miss when LSU got pounded by the Rebels. And maybe, just maybe, that was sort of an audition for Lane Kiffin to say, look at what you could have. And he's a guy that's on LSU's list and I'm told would crawl to Baton Rouge if the job were offered. And the reason's obvious. You can win a national championship in Baton Rouge. You can't win a national championship in Oxford. So maybe Lane Kiffin might have seen his star shine a little brighter after Saturday, while James Franklin back-to-back losses might have seen his dim a smidge. We'll know that only in time. Now, a couple of stars that are shining are in the NFL in Cincinnati. I do want to talk about the giant day for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase as we continue Locked on LSU, where we're brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. If you have not tasted Built Bar by now, you're missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it don't taste like a protein bar, y'all. You have got to try Built Bar. Right now in my desk upstairs, I got a Built Bar because I eat a Built Bar every single day for my late afternoon snack before I start my radio show. It powers me through those next 3 hours. Maybe you need a meal replacement in the morning for breakfast. Maybe you're looking for that late morning snack or that post-workout snack. They got you at Built Bar. It tastes great. It's high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for keto, and you can save 15% off when you use the code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to save 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Wrapping up a Monday edition here on the Locked on LSU podcast, your team every day. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate that always, and we thank you for making us your first listen every day here on the Locked on LSU podcast. I would be remiss if we let this podcast come and go without mentioning the day that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase had for the Cincinnati Bengals and their blowout win over the Baltimore Ravens, 41-17. You know, the amazing thing, first of all, let me start with Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, 8 receptions, 201 yards, and a score. He had, just before half, the long catch and run touchdown. This was in the third quarter. The 82-yard catch and run from Joe Burrow. Just amazing synergy with those two guys. Ja'Marr Chase presently has more, through 7 games, has more receiving yards through the first 7 games of a career than any in the history of the NFL, surpassing the mark set last year by his teammate, Justin Jefferson. Now, on this podcast and everywhere else, I called every NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year voter a coward because they voted for Justin Herbert. They took the easy way out in voting for a quarterback instead of voting for the rookie that deserved the award, which was Justin Jefferson a year ago. The good news is that the rookie quarterbacks this year stink. Zach Wilson is hurt. Trevor Lawrence is playing like poo-poo. Justin Fields, no shot. Trey Lance hurt out in San Francisco. So because there isn't a quarterback to let all the lazy voters out there just default their vote, they are going to look elsewhere, and they're going to look no further than Ja'Marr Chase. Yes, they're only 7 games into the season, so there's 10 to play, but that means there's even more room for Ja'Marr Chase to continue at this incredible pace that he's on. So Ja'Marr Chase, by far the front runner for the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, something he absolutely should win at this pace. But congrats on the monster day. And for Joey B, 23 of 38 for 416, 3 touchdowns and a pick. And amazingly, so the 416 is a career mark for Joe Burrow, again, here in his second season. But what a stark contrast to what we saw a year ago from Burrow against these same Baltimore Ravens. He faced Baltimore in week 5 last year, and they lost 27-3. Burrow had 183 yards passing that day. It was not a good day. He was 19 of 30 for 183, no touchdowns, and a pick in a 27-3 loss. One season later, look at how much the game has slowed down as he goes for over 400 passing yards in the game. Tremendous development from Joe Burrow. A great day for Ja'Marr Chase. Congrats to all the former Tigers doing great things in the pros. All right, it's going to do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast on this Monday. Ed Ogeron later today will meet with the media to preview. Well, actually, they're heading into the open date, so he will not meet with the media actually today. But as we learn more this week about LSU's coaching search, and as you all have questions, we will address them here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Thank you for listening, making us your first listen. And be sure while you're at it to make Locked On SEC your second listen. Our buddy Chris Gordy has the league covered top to bottom, so make sure you're subscribed. However you get your podcast. Until tomorrow, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.